Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This week we begin a new series titled, Doing the Will of God, with speaking from Brother Ron Kangas on a prerequisite and several principles for living according to God's will. This meeting was held during a conference in Wycliffe, Ohio, in April 2016. A link to the full audio can be found in the episode notes.
I've had a number of gatherings like this with various age groups and categories, and it's usually most productive if most of the time can be devoted to what I would call question and response. I purposely do not say question and answer because I don't have very many answers. We may answer questions of truth insofar as the answer has been revealed and we understand what has been revealed. But in matters that pertain to experience, to life situations, to matters that are a concern to you, it's best that we simply present something in fellowship, which you should receive simply as fellowship. And then you can consider whether that's beneficial or not. So while you're considering, you can write out something, give it to the brother here, you can pass it up. Or after about 15 minutes when we start this, you could just stand or raise your hand and just speak forth your question. There is no format, there's no formality. But I'd like to share something for about 15 minutes. But this doesn't mean we're going in the direction of what I would share. It's just an extension and an application of what we opened with last night. We pointed out from Revelation 4:11 that God's will is the unique source of everything. He created the universe and all the positive things in it because of His will and for His will. God's will is what He wants, what He intends to accomplish. We gave a partial definition of that because of the context. But a fuller definition, and once we present this, then I'll try to show you how this intersects with your human life, where you are at any given time. The book of Colossians opens with Paul saying that as soon as I heard about your faith, I began to pray for you continually. This is verse 9 of chapter 1. That you would be filled with the full knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This was Paul's burden for these new believers, that they would be filled with the full knowledge of God's will and have a spiritual understanding of it. Then in chapter 4 of the same book, in verse 12, Paul speaks of the co-worker who really had brought Christ to them, and he said he struggles for you in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. These two mentions of God's will indicate that the book of Colossians is framed with God's will as the focal point. The book then reveals in a tremendous way the all-inclusive Christ being our life, our constituent, and our enjoyment for the church as the body and the one new man. So one aspect of God's will is that He wants you to be happy in Jesus. He wants you to enjoy Christ. He wants Christ to be real to you. He wants Christ to be the person living in you as your hope. He wants Christ to be your life, to be your inheritance, to be your portion. So God's will is first that Christ would have the first place, that he would be expressed, that he would be the head, that he would be the life of the church. Then from Romans and Ephesians, we saw to some extent that God's will is to have the church as the body of Christ. This is the will for which he created everything, that his Son would be everything to a group of people created in his image, and that these people would be the corporate expression of his Son, would be the body of Christ, so that in the universe there would be a glorious expression of the triune God in the Son with all the believers as the many sons. This is the will of God for God. This is what God wants. In certain places, like in Matthew, there's an emphasis on our doing the will of God, on our praying that God's will would be done on earth, that whoever does the will of the Father will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Especially in chapter 7, he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of the Father. Well, if we are to take this verse seriously, and it speaks about our doing the will of the Father, then surely that raises the question, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? How do I know that I am doing it? So this is what I would just indicate in an initial way, in principle, while hopefully questions are forming and coming forth. But I leave that to you, and I will rest peacefully just in my portion. What we need to do is we need to settle it for the rest of our life between us and the Lord, that we exist, that we are living on this earth for God's great eternal will concerning Christ and the church. This cannot be, first of all, a corporate matter. This is a personal matter. That you, as someone who believes in the Lord, who loves the Lord, who has had some contact with him, as you are considering your human situation from the present vantage point, you would like to settle something for the rest of your life. Let's say you live to be 90 years or plus. The Lord has not come back. So anything and everything and everyone related to everything and everyone in your life, everywhere you live, everything you do, whom you marry, your family, whatever, you have settled it that you are here actually living for the carrying out of God's will concerning Christ and the church. Only when we do this do we have the ground to inquire of the Lord, what does he want us to do? What is his will? Otherwise, we really don't have the ground. It doesn't mean if you don't have the ground, he won't answer you, he won't care for you. He's not a small being. His heart is very big, and he's rich in mercy. But he knows he cannot communicate as much to you as he can with someone who has settled this matter of why they're living. Our God has ordained that the vast majority of us just go through the stages of human life in as normal a way as possible. We need to get our education or our training, whatever it is, that matches our God-created interests and abilities. It's normal to want to get married. Not only sisters want to get married, I assure you, brothers want to get married every bit as much as you do. They just may not be aware of it, or they may not admit it, but they do. God said it's not good for man to be alone. So we should not expect that anything will be unusual, peculiar, strange, or abnormal in the course of our life. I highly recommend, if you're a college student, I realize I'm in the majority because I'm not a pragmatist, that you study what you like and what you're good at, right? You have the rest of your whole life to be practical. If you're good at art and you love art history, study art history instead of someone killing you saying, how are you going to get a job in that? We know you have to get a job in something. So I'm emphasizing that in every stage, in every matter, we are normal human beings. But we are unique in that we are living, wherever we are, for this will of God. So what needs to happen is that you, in your life with the Lord, connect every important matter in your life with this perfect will of God concerning Christ and the church. That nothing is separated from that. You want to decide on a major? You have this in view. You think it's time to enter into a courtship? You have this in view. You have a job offer with an opportunity to live somewhere. Everything is connected. Everything is related to God's will concerning Christ and the church. If you practice this, then the Lord in His sovereignty, in His faithfulness, and in His love for you will ensure that everything is lined up with His will. And you will have the peace that in any particular matter in your human life, you get engaged, you get married, you have a child, you go to graduate school, you go to medical school, whatever it is, you know in your spirit before the Lord, in this matter, you are not separated from the Lord and His will. If for whatever reason you do not take this way, then you will be in a direction to live your life in what He permits you to do. And the whole earth is virtually operating this way. Very little of God's will is done on the earth. And even among the believers, the vast majority do not know what God's will is. The vast majority are not consecrated to do God's will. And so He just lets them do what they want to do. Often, certain ones lacking spiritual acumen would fellowship with Brother Lee. They would ask for fellowship. And they wanted to do something. So they would go to Brother Lee. Brother Lee knew what was going on. He knew they were set to do it. They were not really open to fellowship. So he would say, that's fine. Just go ahead and do it. Then the one would walk away saying, oh, Brother Lee agrees with me. You couldn't be more mistaken. Brother Lee is expressing God's way with us. You're set on something. You want to do this. Your heart is focused on it. So you come to Him for guidance. And He would indicate, it's okay. It's okay. Go ahead. That's permissive. When we meet the Lord, everything we did in His permissive will be wiped away as nothing. That's Matthew 7. The Lord said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. And the Lord doesn't deny that they did it. But He calls them lawless. I let you do it. I let you employ my name for your work. But you did not do the Father's will. I don't know you. Now, let's say you have established it, you've settled it thoughtfully, not at an emotional high peak. Don't make a huge decision like this because you're on an emotional high. It should be thought through. You should consider it thoroughly. You should realize what it is you're doing. Then you make a choice. You don't make a vow. You make a choice. A vow is your promise to do something which you will find out you're unable to do. But a choice is a decision to allow God to do whatever He wants to do with your life. So you have settled this, let's suppose. And so now you are facing an important decision. Should you or should you not accept this excellent offer to go to graduate school, or should you go to that place in Anaheim, California, where some are voluntarily imprisoned, so to speak, for 2 years? Okay? I never recruit for that, by the way. I respect the free will of all the brothers and sisters. I respect the Spirit's leading in their lives. You don't need anyone to pressure you. But here you are with this decision. Teaching fellowship in an outstanding doctoral program versus declining it and devoting 2 years to the full-time training, and then who knows what. Okay, so here you are. The matter is settled, but you want to know in this situation, what is the will of God for me? That's a valid question. You have the standing to ask it. What, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, there is no method. See? There's no method. There are no steps I can set before you and say, do all these things, and you get an answer. You are dealing with a person, not a computer, into which you feed data, and then the answer comes out. You are relating to a person who is wonderful, but he's also mysterious, as a person can be. So there are two particular matters that in any decision like this, you need to apply. And you apply them as you are able to right now. Okay? You're not someone else. Don't imitate someone else. You are you where you are in the Lord right now. Okay? The first is you need to consecrate this particular matter to the Lord and consecrate yourself to the Lord in this particular matter. So here it is. accepted at Yale Medical School. The reply date is set. It's in 4 days. The answer is irreversible. And so you want to know what God wants you to do. So the first thing is, Lord, this matter of medical school versus something else, I consecrate this to you. And I consecrate myself to you in this matter. There's a principle here that God does not work when we are passive. God respects the human will. If the human will is passive, he will not do anything until it acts. So you consecrate that matter. The second may sound rather, you may wonder, how do you do this? And the second is, your attitude is, you are ready to deny yourself. Even you may not know what the self is, how you're supposed to deny it. Okay, that may be coming in your future. But at least you can realize, I will not choose what is for me. And get ready for the next step. Neither will I choose what others expect me to do. Even my beloved parents. I'm a parent. I'm a granddad. I know what it's like. I love my children. I am not their redeemer. I am not their regenerator. I am not their Lord. I am not their God. I'm their dad. I'm their dad. They are the Lord's. I have to know where my influence reaches its end. If your attitude is, Lord, I do not want something for myself. I'm not living on this earth for myself. I settle that. If you consecrate this matter and yourself in this matter, and your attitude is, I will deny myself, then you will know what God wants you to do. I don't know how you will know. Okay? I can't tell you how. I overstep. Because three things always interact concerning God's will. The first is the leading of the Spirit in us, made known through our fellowship with the Lord and perceived by the intuition of our spirit. And sometimes that is the decisive element or factor. The second is genuine fellowship. Now, I'm emphasizing not only fellowship, but genuine fellowship. By genuine fellowship, I mean fellowship from a brother or sister who is not giving you an opinion, but is sharing their genuine feeling in the Lord. That's fellowship. And then the third is the environment. Sometimes the Lord leads through environment. There was a sister graduating from the training. She wanted to go to medical school very much. So after she graduated, she made up some science classes to try to get ready for the MCAT or whatever it is. Now, those who knew her had the sense that this is probably not her portion. Okay? But No one was going to interfere. No one wanted to replace the Lord. Neither did she ask for anyone's honest feeling. But every medical school she applied to did not accept her. So that's environment. You have to be very careful in interpreting environment. Oh, that's the enemy. It's the enemy blockading medical school. Well, sometimes the enemy sets up a blockade, but the fellowship and the prayer of the church will help you determine that. You cannot ignore the environment. So if someone is here on a student visa and they're offered a job and there's no way for them to get a working visa and they have to go back to Indonesia, they have no leading in the Spirit to go back. No one is urging them to go back, but God, through the environment, is directing them to go back. Okay, there is no way to systematize these three matters. But when something is really of God's will, they will all line up. They will line up somehow. So what you sense is confirmed by genuine fellowship, and then it is confirmed by the environment, which indicates it's possible to actually do this.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.